Ricciardo. This is David Coulthard.
Hi, this is Daniel Ricciardo.
You've won the Canadian Grand Prix. Well done, your first win.
Wow.
Hi there, it's Sebastian Vettel. You're listening to the Infinity Red Bull Racing podcast.
You've done it. Style. Fantastic. You're a four-time world champion. You joined the greats. Well done.
You did it. Yes. Yes.
Can I do donuts?
Donuts will not be required. Thank you.
Take that as a yes, then.
Hello and welcome to the Infinity Red Bull Racing podcast, and it's the inaugural race here in Russia at the Sochi Autodrome. The circuit is built inside the Olympic Park that hosted the Winter Olympics earlier this year. We're right on the coast with the Black Sea just over the wall at the bottom of the track. It's almost perfect for Formula One because obviously there's no shortage of hotels nearby. The track itself is based on the style of a street circuit. It's not quite a city course, but definitely not a permanent circuit either. As usual, the way it's defined is by reference to other circuits, and the consensus here seems to be that Sochi is a reboot of Valencia. Coming up on the podcast, we speak to both our drivers about their race here today. We speak to Christian Horner and David Coulthard. We also hear from some key team members as we look forward to the last three races of the season after Russia. First, let's concentrate on the action here today in Sochi. We have to congratulate Mercedes-Benz, who clinched the Constructors Championship here today. Well done, guys. The race was won by Lewis Hamilton, taking his ninth win of the year. Hamilton's teammate Nico Rosberg fought back following a first lap error to take second place. The Finn in the Williams car, Bottas, took the third step on the podium. Then it was Button, Magnussen and Alonso, and Daniel Ricciardo and Sebastian Vettel finished seventh and eighth respectively. Here are both our drivers after the race.
First few laps were pretty hectic. We definitely lost a few spots at the start, and we have to have a look. I mean, obviously it's nearly the end of the season now, but we really haven't had many good starts at all, so that's a bit frustrating. To be honest, starting the race, the tyre was already blistered. It had quite a bit in qualifying, so it wasn't looking too healthy. And then behind Seb, I think the first stint just probably made it worse, and I could see it starting to come apart, and we had to pit quite early. And then on the prime, I think obviously the tyre lasted well and we had pretty good pace. I think then the race was a lot better for us and could match Alonso, but just couldn't get past. I was hoping every corner to see him just drop a wheel or make a mistake, but I think when you've been doing it this long, you don't normally make those mistakes. Congrats to Mercedes. I mean, everyone thought Red Bull's season last year was dominant, but I think this has been the most dominant I can remember, so hats off to them. And maybe for the fans it's not always the most exciting, but definitely you got to give them credit. We're all given the job to design a fast car, and they've just done it better than everyone else this year. So as of next year, me personally, I definitely want to close the gap and get back on top for myself and the team. I'm sure what's happened this year will create an even bigger fire for the guys back in Milton Keynes, so we'll definitely work towards that next year, and I'll do my best to ruffle some feathers.
I think I had a good start, and then unfortunately tough battle with Daniel, and lost the upper hand on the Toro Rossos, but I think from then onwards the speed was nothing special. We had the same issues as in qualifying. Nevertheless, I think with a different strategy we should have probably been a little bit further down the road, but all in all I think it's more or less where we should have finished anyways. But I was alone for most of the race. The beginning was quite entertaining, and then I was, as I said, on my own, so not that busy.
David Coulthard could be seen covering the whole race for the BBC once again, so he had the best view of the action. Rich managed to catch him after the race.
Thank you. Just to get your thoughts on today's race.
Well, I think that it's taken a long time to come here to Russia, and a lot of people probably wanted to find reasons why not to like the fact that we were coming to Russia. But in the end, as a standalone sports venue and Grand Prix, I think it's been a big success. It wasn't the most successful weekend for Red Bull Racing, of course, but hats off to Mercedes Grand Prix and winning the Constructors' Championship. Christian Horner was one of the first to go and congratulate them. He made the comment about the trophy is moving 16 miles from Milton Keynes to Brackley, but of course the intention is to try and win that back in the future. But I think overall we have to acknowledge it's been a really well-organised event, and it's opened people's minds. Some people saying this is not really Russia because it's down here on the Black Sea, but geographically it most certainly is.
Great. And then just looking forward to what's coming up in the next week. We got Austin, Brazil, and Abu Dhabi.
Well, Austin, Brazil, two great Grand Prix tracks. Austin, obviously, relatively new to the calendar. Very similar to this track, so it might be very difficult for Red Bull Racing to really perform to their best there. Brazil, I think, is a better opportunity in many respects. Abu Dhabi, the dreaded double points. That could work for somebody or work against someone else, but that's what we have this year in Formula One. It's certainly been quite an exciting year, hasn't it? So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the closing races.
Well, great, thanks. We'll catch up with you later.
Thank you very much.
Now, while there is so much happening at the track over any race weekend, there are also so many working back at the factory at home. Katie went to speak to Sarah Courtney, our strategy analyst team member, to find out more.
Okay, so thanks for joining us today. Just to start, can you tell everyone what your name is and what it is you do?
So I'm Sarah, and I'm the strategy analysis team leader. I'm looking at where we are fast and slow compared to our competitors in lots of different areas, so I can pass that information to the engineers, and they may change set up or something to make the car go faster as a result.
You're working back in the factory during the events. When's the most stressful time for you during a race weekend?
I think it's the Friday just after P2, because we've got an awful lot of information that we need to get to the engineers trackside, so we're just trying to work as fast as we can to collect as much data together and present it in a good way for them.
Is there any time during the weekend that you might be quite nervous?
I'm always nervous just before the race starts. My heart starts to beat a bit faster just as the lights start to go out, because that's when my job gets serious, I think.
Do you get some sort of adrenaline from that? Is that something you quite enjoy as well?
Yes, definitely. There's a big adrenaline, and definitely post-race as well, you feel very tired and just want to sort of sit down and relax after it.
And how do you cope with the time changes? Because obviously you're not travelling, but you still have to go on to the race time. So how do you cope with that?
So it's very difficult, really. We try and shift as slowly as we can. So we might start from Monday morning and we go 2 hours, and then Tuesday would be 4 hours, etc., etc., until we get to Friday, where we're getting up at about midnight, 2 a.m. depending on what time it is. We try and eat the same times that they might do in Japan, etc. It's just difficult because you don't get to go out with your friends afterwards because everyone's still at work or they're going to bed when you're getting up, so it's a bit awkward, but it's quite good fun as well.
And what's the best thing about your job?
I think it's that it's something new every single day. I don't know what emails are going to come through with what requests, and each time it's something exciting and interesting, and I love doing that.
And what would your advice be to someone listening that might want to maybe do what you do or get into Formula One?
I think you need to do a degree in maths or engineering. It's good to contact the Formula One team and get a good experience with them. It's good to be able to write software, work with Excel, that sort of thing, really.
Okay, just final question. Do you get to see the drivers much? Because you're back at the factory, and obviously your counterpart at the race circuit would see them a lot. How does it work for you?
Yes, we see them now and again. Sometimes you'll see them in reception, which is really lovely. They always seem to remember who I am, so they'll always come and say hello if they've got the time, and obviously at the Christmas party and things like that as well.
And were you surprised by Sebastian's decision?
Yes, I was. I'm a big Sebastian fan, so I was disappointed that that was his decision, but I can understand where he wants to be in the future. And next year, I'm really looking forward to working with Daniel Kvyat and Daniel Ricciardo as well.
Now, we always like to introduce you to different areas of the team on the podcast. So Steve went to speak to our support team manager earlier.
Okay, Tony, we're back in the factory here in Milton Keynes after a back-to-back of Suzuka and Sochi. Obviously, lots of racing involved, but the majority of people's thoughts are around Formula One at the moment are with Jules Bianchi. Is that something that resonates around the paddock?
I think that resonates with everyone who's involved in Formula One. I mean, it was an horrific crash, and I know it did bring a very dark mood throughout the whole factory, just imagining what him and his family are going through. So, I mean, everyone's thoughts are with him, and we just hope he makes a full recovery and gets back in his seat soon.
Yeah, we're so used to seeing drivers have a crash and quickly jump out. So after such a long time of good safety in Formula One, it does come as that extra shock, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, there's so many crashes. They crash every week, but they walk away. They get out, they dust themselves off and get back on with it. So that's what brings it home of how dangerous this sport still is when things like this can happen.
And yourself, you're very much involved with our F1 demo events, and I understand there could be quite an exciting one coming up soon.
We've done some great ones. We did a couple of years ago, we did Austin, where we drove on the track before it was actually laid. It was just dust and gravel. We had a really great time. I mean, the people of Austin were fantastic, and we look forward to going back there. I'm really hoping that we can do something, and there are some big things coming up, and just watch this space. I mean, we're looking forward to getting both out to the States. We've got an event coming up in Australia soon, in Dubai, and so yeah, we get around a bit.
You look at a big team of people that follow, obviously, the Formula One cars to races. Is it very much the same with the live demo events? Is it almost treated like a race event because you need such a team of people around it?
It's similar to a race event. There's obviously not the number of people needed. We're not trying to develop the car to a specific circuit. Sometimes we have to make some modifications for some extreme conditions, but on the whole, the car is a pretty standard race car. We pick the rider up a bit just to make sure it's ground clearance, because as you know, we don't run on the smoothest roads that they've got, so that are out there. So we do some mods to the car. So the team is, you know, we take a couple of electronics guys, a couple of engineers, a few mechanics. We just love doing these events to take the car, a Formula One car, onto a public road and give the public a chance to get up close and personal with a Formula One car. You can't even see that when you pay to go to a track to see that. To actually be feet away from a car that's doing a donut, to get the smell of the rubber, the noise, the whole, and to really feel the power of a Formula One car is something that, I mean, it drives the crowds mad, and they love it.
And just on a personal note, Tony, and for our listeners, how did you get into F1 yourself?
I started in motor racing, like a lot of people in motor racing. I started in a garage. I was a garage mechanic at a very young age, like 18 years old. And I used to help a friend of mine who did some amateur racing with a single-seater car. And I used to go around just as a hobby in the evenings and prepare the car, and then went racing with him at weekends until it finally turned into a full-time job. I was offered my first job in Formula Ford in a little Formula, one of the junior Formulas. And then went from Formula Ford to Formula 3, to Formula 3000, Formula 1. And that's too many years ago now. I've been in Formula 1 now since the mid-80s. I'm still loving every minute of it. I just love being at the cutting edge of technology and just seeing how we push these cars.
So what's the best part of coming to work in this Milton Keynes base then?
I just think I'm so proud of being part of Red Bull. I mean, I think what we've done is phenomenal, and we've really shook up the Formula One world. I mean, winning the four world championships that we've done, constructors and the four drivers championships, is something I'd never have dreamed of. When we won the first one, I remember saying, just wouldn't it be great if we could win back to back? We did it four times, you know, so I'm very proud of that, and I'm very proud driving in every day. The enthusiasm that everyone's got here, everyone's still so enthusiastic. We haven't had our most successful year this year, but from where we started, I think everyone's done a fantastic job and something we can all be proud of.
And we're in the final stages of that season now. Can I ask you for a particular favourite point of this season?
I think it's got to be all three wins, isn't it? I mean, Mercedes have been so dominant, obviously, so to break that up a little bit and spoil their party has been really good. Seeing Daniel do so well in his first year has been fantastic. I mean, he's such a great guy, and you couldn't wish it on a better person. So it's great for him. It's obviously sad to lose Seb. I'm sure Seb will still go on and do great things. He's been wonderful to work with, and we're all going to miss him.
Final word goes to our team principal, Christian Horner. Here he is after the race.
Okay, Christian, so could you talk us through how the race was today?
Well, firstly, congratulations to Mercedes. They've done an excellent job this season, deserving winners of the Constructors' Championship. We'll be fighting hard to get that trophy back to Milton Keynes, where it's been for the last 4 years, next year. A tricky race for us, obviously. A track dominated by straights, and it's an area that we're weak and we know we need to improve.
Some of the team have been away for a month now, and it's a long 2 weeks, the back-to-back. What's next for the team?
We'll obviously turn around now for America, and to use the time to try and close that gap down. We're still fighting in the last three races. Daniel still has a slim chance in the championship, and we'll do whatever we can to give Mercedes a hard time.
Well, that's it for the Infinity Red Bull Racing podcast. Make sure you check out our website and our social channels for all the latest team news, pictures and videos. Plus, are you heading to the US Grand Prix, and would you like to join the team for our next breakfast club ahead of the Austin Grand Prix? We're looking for three fans plus a guest each to come along and join us at the team hotel for breakfast with some of the members of the team before we head off to a special event in downtown Austin, where you will be our VIP guests. Now, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. And if you'd like to get involved, head over to the website and check out the Breakfast Club Austin post for all the details. As usual, thanks to Red Bull Records for some of the music you've heard on the podcast. But now we'll leave you with the awesome Sail by AWOL Nation, the Feed Me remix. With only three races to go this season, it's all to play for. We'll be back in 3 weeks' time for that Grand Prix in Texas. Until then, take care.